Minister. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord for his presence with us this morning. And indeed, God is in the house here. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Yeah. Amen, amen. I thought, how am I going to preach after this? the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. Well, I just want to thank you as a church for blessing me and my family in serving the Lord in the country of Israel. We live in Nazareth for so many years. I'm originally from that part of the world. And God blessed us with so many churches that planted and started. And now we are overseeing many, many churches. We have in Galilee about 41 churches altogether. And I help in assisting those churches, providing leadership training and looking after the pastors, and also providing, it's like a school of ministry, an intensive course of leadership. We do it once a year for two groups, one in the north, one in the center of the country. And God is really raising up a new generation of leaders, pastors, for his work and of the kingdom in the country. As you know, we are thankful that we've done with the pandemic. It's behind us. We have no cases anymore in the country. And we finished with the pandemic. The enemy wants to start a war. But I tell you, God is orchestrating the whole thing. Because if you live in Israel, you cannot miss that we are living in the last days. Because all the signs are coming together, but we are praying that God will strengthen the church in Israel and in America and into all the world, because the church must be strong when he comes back. So I'm so blessed that things are going well. There a lot of damage took place the last several weeks, but God will help us to bring reconciliation and unity. And so, because our purpose is for God to save the Jewish people, to God to save the Israeli, the Arab Israeli people there, because the last frontier of harvest are the Jewish people. You know, the Jews are Jesus' family, and I think they deserve to take care of them before he comes back. So I appreciate your prayers for us as we continue standing in the land. It's not an easy to live there. When I come to the States, I feel I'm on vacation, Pastor. But living there, it's not an easy thing, but the Lord is strengthening us. I want to thank you for your prayers and also for your generous financial support, standing with us in this ministry. And as I shared this past 2 days, we also run a ministry called International Leadership Seminars, which we provide leadership training to many nations in the third world countries. In the 90s, the Lord helped me to start a school of ministry in Nazareth, and we raised so many leaders there, and God said to me, now is the time I want you to take the word, the teaching, to other leaders in many nations. And I didn't know what was God doing, but I obeyed the Lord, and today we have over 30 nations we go to provide leadership training in conferences and training in Africa, India, China, Middle East, and Malaysia, name all these countries. We go there not just to give them information. We go there for God to bring transformation to the whole nation. That's our purpose and that's our prayer. Every year, God blesses me with about 15 to 20 leadership conferences, which amounting about over 5,000, maybe 6,000 pastors and Christian leaders in training. So this ministry is Pastor Mac was with me on many trips, and I'm calling on him again to come. He's been a great blessing on the trips to touch the pastors and teach them and bless them and love on them. So I appreciate your prayers for us as we continue in ministry. This morning, on my heart, just to share with you a message of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And this reference, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. How many knows the Lord's Prayer? We all know the Lord's Prayer. I would like all of us just to read it together. We don't read it or recite it out of religious duty. You know, say the Lord's Prayer 10 times and God will give you a breakthrough. That's a nonsense there. You know, the Lord's Prayer was designed as a guideline so you know how to pray. And we understand that the powerful prayer is when you know the mind of God. When you understand the minds of God and you pray through, that's where you're in alignment with heaven and earth. So we're going to read the Lord's Prayer together, and we're all going to read it in one voice. Okay. Do you have the Lord's Prayer, the whole thing? If you don't have it, it's fine. We know it by heart. We know it by heart. Can you stand with me and let's pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive those against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine in the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, Jesus spent about 2 years with his disciples, and within these 2 years, they noticed him, how he prays and how he connects with the Father. This, when he taught the Lord's Prayer, that was about 2 years with the disciples. And the disciples came to Jesus and told him, can you teach us how to pray? How many here would say, Lord, teach me how to pray? So teach us how to pray. So Jesus gave them this prayer, and this is like a prayer that meets every six areas of our lives. That's a major, all of our needs is really summarized in this Lord's Prayer. So we're going to see these needs, a priority number one need, a second priority, third priority. These are six areas of needs that we need to pray through, and as we pray through this, God is, we are in alignment with the Lord. Now, how many believe we cannot live without prayer? Life is too fragile. Handle it with prayer. We need to pray. It's not just a communication with God, but it's a lifestyle. Becomes my life to pray. You know, I have to connect. I have to pray. Now, prayer is the secret of satisfying the Father's heart. Prayer is the secret of your successful life. If you want to be successful, you need to know how to pray. So prayer is the secret of making a great decisions in your life. You know, Jesus, when he decided he wants to choose the 12, you know what the Bible said? He prayed all night. And in the morning, he chose the 12. You know, Jesus lived as a fully man, fully God. But when he lived on earth, he lived as a man. He was in need to pray. He was in need to connect with the Father. He was in need to be strengthened in his life as a human being. Now, he prayed all night to choose the disciples. And I encourage you this morning, whenever there are major decisions in your life, please pray all night. Oh, that doesn't sound good, you know. But if we wanted to really fulfill God's purposes in our lives, it must be through prayer. And I have good news for you. There are two intercessors are praying, are helping you when you are praying. There are two intercessors, one in heaven and one on earth. On earth is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to intercede and pray according to the will of God. So we have, when we start praying, there are two intercessors are present. On earth is the Holy Spirit, and in heaven is Jesus himself, taking your prayers, your messed up prayers, and put it in order and present it to the Father. Aren't you glad? Any prayer is welcome. So he takes all the prayer, he put this one, all this one here, and I have to present it to the Father. Who presents your prayer to the Father? Jesus. He intercedes for you. So prayer is not just by myself, but prayer needs help. You need the Holy Spirit to intercede, to help you to pray, and you need Jesus to present your prayers before the Heavenly Father. Now, in the Bible said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer life. And I believe because we are living in the last days, God is going to take the church, the believer, into a new depth in our relationship with God. Now, just to say this introduction, we're going to go now step by step. What did Jesus mean when he gave that guidelines how to pray? We start the prayer, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is number one. The first need in your life, is the need for his presence. That's number one need in your life. In his presence is fullness of joy. The first request, the first need in your life, God is inviting you to be in his presence. When we say our Father, I want you to say that fatherhood, God became your Father because Jesus died on the cross and you received his redemption work. That term fatherhood, God became your Father, that's a covenant established fact in your life. So when you come to pray, God says, you are coming not just to God, you are coming to a covenant relationship with me. Now we enter his presence. That's our need every single day. No, we come to the Lord with a list every morning. We have 11 needs. We just tell him, this, don't forget those, and in Jesus' name, amen, and keep going. And God says, don't let my relationship with you based on a list you give me every morning. Are you hearing this? So my relationship with him, he's a father. He wants to sit with his son and daughter every time. So when I am in his presence, what will happen? I'm safe. I'm comfortable. My needs are so clear in front of him. Before even I ask, it's already there. We enter his presence through the blood of Jesus. We are brethren. We have boldness to enter his presence through the blood of the Lamb. So we come to his presence through the sacrifice of the Lord that was established for you and me. But also we enter his presence with praise and thanksgiving and worship. Because of my covenant relationship with him, that's what Jesus brought into the scene. When you come to pray, remember, your first need is the need for his presence. And remember, your position is in a covenant relationship with him. And the word here, his presence, we can spend so much time speaking about the presence of God, but the more we stay in his presence, the more we become like him. I always feel jealous about Moses when God was speaking to him face to face. I said, that's an Old Testament. What about the New Testament? We are in better covenant. We are in better situation. Lord, can we talk face to face? How many here desire to talk with God face to face? So he's inviting us because he wants us to know he is a perfect father for you. He's a perfect father for you. Now, we see the fatherhood in the prayer and we see exaltation to his name. Your name is exalted above every name in my life. To understand the name of the Lord, to understand the name of the Lord, when we became born again, his name was declared over us. And when God declares his name over you, you are his. He owns you. You are his. Now, his name is declared over us. And the way to understand his name, we all know the names of God in the Old Testament. All these names, nine names of God in the Old Testament, was not just God wants to give us titles, you know, like we love titles, you know, doctor or so on. We love titles, but God was not giving us, by explaining his names, giving us titles. What he was giving us, functions. Like when God explained and call, you know, give us an expression of his name, Jehovah Tzedkinor, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Ruhi, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah, keep me, it's eight names, you know, help me with those names. Now, those, every name is a description and function to bless your life. Every single name. It's not for him. He declared his name to tell you, I want to bless you with my name. You need to understand his name and the riches of his name and the power of his name so you can worship him because he deserves all worship. So when he revealed his name, he revealed eight names of God, Jehovah, which is me, Lord, Adonai today. All these eight names to tell us something about the relationship that we have with him. How many believe God is a God of covenant? What kind of covenant? This covenant has a blessing. When you go with covenant with God, what happened? You receive those eight names of blessings over your life. Are you catching this? When we say, hallowed be thy name, you know, we're praising his name because his name blessed my life. I was living in one of the south area in Israel, and every day they have riots. They have they burn cars. They pull your car in the middle of the road. They burn it every day. And we were living there. We were living in the whole turmoil. And there's no other place to go. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for my car. You know, I don't want them to burn my car. So I said, Lord, I want to declare your name over my car. In the morning, I come. I see the car before my car is burnt. And the car after my car is totally burned, but my car, nothing, no scratch in it. Last October, we had a fire in our valley, you know, fires in Israel. And I mean, the fire was reached so close to our home. I said, now, Lord, I know your name. I know your name. I want to declare your name. I didn't just declare my name, God's name over my house. I said, every house in the neighborhood, I declare your name one by one. And no, there were so many houses were burnt, but not our neighborhood where the fire is so close. When we declare his name, what we are doing, we're saying, everything we declare your name on it, it's under the sovereignty of your authority. So the first blessing of his name, that's the blessing of the covenant. Eight blessings of the covenant, it's in his name. That's why I want you to worship his name, to exalt his name from all of your heart. When the word of God says, Jehovah Tzedkinu, which is the Lord, is my righteousness. That's the first name. The second name speaks of the Lord's sanctifier, or the Jehovah Mukaddas, which is holy. He will sanctify and purify and make your life holy because the Lord is my sanctifier. What is Jehovah Shalom? The Lord is my wholeness, my peace. What is Jehovah Shammah? Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is with me all the time. He's my partner in life. Though I with you all the days of you, I will never leave you or forsake. That's the word Shammah means the Lord is my companion in life. It's all functions. What about Jehovah Jireh? The Lord is my provider. What about another name of God? Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi is God is my victory, my banner, my protector. So when you stand, say, hallowed be your name. What you are doing, you are saying, Lord, I am blessed with all the names of God in my life. You deserve the worship. You deserve the worship. My life is blessed because of your name. What about another name, Jehovah Rapha? The Lord is my healer. It's a function. God is not giving us his name so we can know the titles of how many doctorate degrees God has. Every name was revealing his character, his love, his mercy, his blessing over you. When you come to a covenant relationship with you, with him, when you receive Jesus, he became your father in covenant. And that covenant is connected to his name. You will be blessed. What about God is Jehovah Ruhi. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All these names, it's just a description of how God is good. And when you are in covenant, when you start praying, don't just pray it like that. Yes, I love to be in simplicity of prayer and relaxed in prayer, but let me tell you something. Don't be too casual. Because when casualness dominates, respect leaves. In Malachi, God said to his people, if I am a father, if you consider me I'm a father, where is my respect? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Yes, he's your daddy, he's your father, but when you come to him, remember those things. Remember, he deserves all respect of your heart. I don't want to be religious in connection with God, no, but I have the fear of God is not running away from him, but the fear that draws me close to him. The sense of awe, the sense of reverence. So when you come to God and as your father, I like to position myself a little bit better. Are you in agreement with me? So that's the first need, is my need for his presence, to sit in his presence as a father, as a covenant blesser. I worship him, I adore him, and so forth. Now let's shift to the second need in our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a second need, the need for to live in the kingdom. How many here desires to live in the kingdom every day? Where is his kingdom? Is in our heart. What is the kingdom? The government of God is in my heart. So what the second need in our life, don't start with pray for the fixing the car or fixing that to provide this. Just hold it there. Before you go into those needs, you know, God is inviting you to pray through, Lord, today I want heaven to come on earth. I want my life to be in alignment with heaven. I want to live your will on earth. Because everything is, you know, so many prayers we pray, it's going into the tube. I mean, the answers, you know, all our needs are, you know, everything will not last. But doing his will, it will last forever. I want to live a life that have an investment in eternity. Are you catching this? What he's saying is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's inviting us to live 30 years, 40 years, 80 years, 90 years, 110 years, and every year is counted for eternity. Why? Because you prayed that prayer, Lord, I want to live in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? It's not food or drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So God is inviting us to live that joyful life, that life in his kingdom where we can enjoy that joy and that blessing. We have finances, and God blesses us with finances. Most of the money is spent on us. God wants you to take care of all your needs. Now, when you put some of the money in the kingdom, what happened? That money it has an eternal value. When you say, Lord, I want to lay my life down for you, my life will have an eternal value. So what we are saying, Lord, we need to live that kingdom. What is his kingdom? His presence in our lives. His lordship in our life. His rule and reign. And means you cannot do his will unless the kingdom is in your heart. Thy kingdom come. You cannot do his will unless Jesus becomes Lord of your life, King of your life. Then you can do his will. And I am committed from now until Jesus comes, I want to do his will in my life. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We can talk about the kingdom, but so much. But I love somebody said we always asking, you know, waiting to go to heaven. That's our thinking. We want to go to heaven. We're going to go to heaven when Jesus is coming. And the Father says, okay, until I come, I want to bring heaven to earth. That's the mind of God. Now let's move to the third area of need. Now that's the most of our prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. Here is a key, a very major key. We need to exercise faith, because anybody comes to him must believe that he hears your prayers. And he is a rewarder of everyone that seeks him. So as we come into God with our needs, he's the provider for every need, physical need. But I want you to understand the word daily. Why he put that daily? Because God doesn't want you to think about tomorrow. He wants to provide manna for today. Be anxious about nothing. Everything through prayers. Why he wants us to think only about the provision of this day? Because he doesn't want us to worry. Because worry, you see your life without Jesus. You look to your needs without Jesus. That's worry. But if you see things through Jesus, there is no worry. There's freedom there. I know a man opened a restaurant, and he chose the name of the restaurants. today is free. No, today you pay and tomorrow is free. Today you pay, tomorrow is free. So everybody came. They want to eat today. They're paying today. The second day, everybody came to eat free. And he said, no, you need to read the sign again. Today you pay, tomorrow is free. Today you pay, tomorrow is free. This guy is so smart. So tomorrow will never come. Being in ministry, you always have to plan ahead, to book ahead, to do ahead. I mean, and I live in the future all the time. And the Lord told me, Andrew, you're two steps ahead of me. I said, Lord, you're too slow for me. So many times we don't live the day. We don't live in the present. We live today, we breathe today, but our minds in tomorrow. That's why we're exhausted. Oh, Lord, this one, that one, and tomorrow comes that one, this one. And God says, okay, you're not enjoying the present. How many believe God is present? He's in the present. God has no past, no future. Everything is present. Time is only time present in, time because on earth. Outside this earth, there is no time. So that's why Jesus said, I want to bless you today. I want to meet your needs today. Tomorrow when it comes, it becomes a day. I will bless you today. So that's God's mindset. How many here thankful to live today, all day? Thank you for your provision today. Many people are struggling today. Many people are in need today. But God is looking after us and taking care of us. Now let's move to get serious, more serious now. The need for continuous confession and forgiveness. That's the style, that's the design of Jesus, how we can pray. We need to live continuously in confession and forgiveness. We confess our sins, we receive forgiveness from God, and we give forgiveness to others. So we have a right relationship with God, right relationship with people. That's a daily thing. That's our prayer every day, Lord. And he said, when you stand to pray, remember, if you have something against somebody or somebody's against you, just forgive. Because if you don't forgive, the Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know if you can make it to heaven without forgiveness. I want to ask you another question. How long it takes God to forgive you? How long? Can anybody ask? Oh, when you confess your sin, okay, I will give you an email another 2 weeks that you are forgiven. How long God takes God to forgive us? But why, when we forgive somebody, it takes years? Oh, I'm waiting for him to apologize. You're tormenting yourself. Lack of forgiveness, it's like you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You are tormenting yourself. It costs you more not to forgive than to forgive. Well, you say, when I feel, I will forgive. You're not going to feel, because forgiveness is not based on your feelings. Because our feelings are wounded, hurt. How, if I want to forgive because of my feelings, I will never forgive anybody. But forgiveness, it's a hard decision. It's a decision you make in your heart. I want to release that person. If he apologizes or he did not, I want to release him, forgive him. And I will tell you, you know how you forgave that person, by blessing him loudly, verbally. Speak a blessing in the heavens over his life. And if you wake up the next morning and you still feel unease about him, forgive him again. Declare forgiveness. Why? Because that's the mind of God in your prayers. But you tell me, Andrew, you don't know how deep is the hurt I have. God has special grace for a special case. If you have a wound, you need to cleanse that wound every day. And put the alcohol, put the medication every day. If you have a deep wound, every day I look at the wound. I clean it by forgiving to that person every day, every day, every day, until that wound is healed properly. It's like a cancer, becomes a cancer. It will infect your body. I tell you, honestly, the blessing is not released because of lack of forgiveness. A woman came for a prayer. She was crying her heart. I shared this before. I looked at her. I said, I'm sure God is going to answer her prayers. She was just ripe to receive healing. And I start praying for her and God. And the Lord told me, I want to heal that woman if she forgive somebody in her heart. So I woke up. I stopped and told her, listen, lady, God wants to heal you. But you have to forgive that person. I don't know who's that person. She knew who was that person. And we helped her to forgive. The moment she forgave, she received her healing. And I can tell you stories after stories. We deal with a lot of pastors and leaders in Africa, and they're so wounded. And the most wounded people in the world are the pastors and the Christian leaders. We go there and say, we help them to release forgiveness. I was just many years back after the war in East Africa, which Burundi, Rwanda area was really devastated by tribal wars, 10 years of war. So they ask us to come and do leadership conference because they have like a truce for some time. And they said only one flight lands and leaves within half an hour. If you would like to come, there's no police, no security. I said, I'm coming. The Lord said, go. So I went there. I went there. We had about 170 plus pastors came to the conference for a whole week ministering to them. And I looked at them. They're wounded, beaten up. Needy. I mean, so many churches were closed. They lost the churches. To my memory, they were probably representing 27 churches. And the wounds so deep, you know, preaching, it's not going really the way I would love to. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, why don't you anoint them with oil and start anointing them and bless them. So we start anointing them, and so many pastors, they don't want to serve God anymore. So after anointing, 2 hours of anointing, the power of God hit the place. I mean, their roof is like iron roof, you know, zinc, not zinc, it's like iron roof, sheets of iron. I mean, the whole roof was going to go up out of the, because of the power of God that came into the place. After that, I mean, the Lord was healing, delivering. I mean, every wound was healed in that conference. I could not believe myself to what the Lord have done in that nation. From that moment, the conference really took off. The power of God was, so I came back. I continue to go every year there, every year. Today, there are over 1,000 churches planted. The same with Rwanda. When Rwanda chose forgiveness, now Rwanda is the safest country in the entire Africa by the State Department. Why? Because they chose forgiveness. But you say, it's costing me. Yes, but he will bless you with tons of blessings. So when you stand to pray, release your forgiveness. Ask forgiveness and release forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Let's move to another one. Oh, my goodness. The need for freedom and victory. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many here will pray every day, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness? That's a point of, Lord, guide me, lead me. Don't allow me to go off. Don't allow me to get into trouble. How many believe if we pray, we save on us so many troubles? Just pray. You will not get into mess. I say, Lord, I don't want to have anything in me that allows you for me to go into temptation. Because the devil is a legal expert. He will accuse you. He will ask permission from God to tempt you. Why? Because you have something belongs to him in your life. And we pray, we say, Lord, lead me not into that temptation. Lord, save on me problems. Take away any gaps in me, any openings for the enemy that will get me in trouble. So if you want to save a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of headache, just pray. It will work. Honestly, it will work. And I want to encourage you today that we have authority over the enemy. We have the power. We have the power of the blood. We have the armor that we are walking in the light. We have the authority of the name of Jesus. We have authority over the devil. You can bind him. You can cast him out. In India, you know, they discovered to pray in the roads, in the streets. Like if you live on that road, you adopt that road from beginning to the end. And you start walking in that road and pray and casting out devils from the neighborhood, from the houses, you know, while you're praying. And there is a ministry called Every Street for Jesus or something like that. I met the leaders. I said, you just walk in the road and pray and cast out. He said, we don't bind them. We cast them out. That's what the Bible says. And they said to me, after we did this, we adopted a road, my road. Everybody start walking and praying and casting out devils from that road. He said, every single day, over 16,000 people are coming to Christ. Salvation start happening because we bind, we cast out the devil, and the people were set free to receive Christ. So we have authority. We submit to God. We bind, we resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And the last one, and we'll close with that, the need, the necessity of serving God and bringing glory to him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. I want you to see that verse. You tell God, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. It's not mine, it's yours. It's yours. Why he's saying that? Because he's already given it to you. When you serve him, when you are partnering with him, he gives you his anointing, his glory, his power, and you come to him, Lord, Lord, the power, the glory that you used me, I give it, it's yours. I turn the glory back to you. I turn the praise back to you. It belongs to you. You used me with it. You know, when God gives you his glory, his power, his anointing, why he's giving us this? Because he trusts us. It's easy to say, I trust God. But it's not easy to say, does God trust me? How many here would say, Lord, God, trust me? Maybe half of us were hesitant. You know, when you sit in his presence, when you live the kingdom, when you trust him for your needs, and when you walk in forgiveness, and when you bite the enemy, God will trust you with his glory and power and his kingdom. Are you catching this? This prayer, it's not just a declaration of praise as much as you are serving God to bring glory to him. And you are serving God with his glory, with his power, with his anointing. And at the end of the day, and you say, Lord, I return the glory to you. I return the honor to you. Everything belongs to you. Why? Because he's giving it to you the next morning. So that's why the necessity of serving and bringing glory to him, because we all going to bring the glory to God. We're not going to take anything from God. It belongs to him. But how God can give us his glory, give us his anointing, his treasures, his resources, his people, he puts us under our disposal. Why? Because he trusts us. How many here will say, Lord, I want you to trust me. I really want you to trust me. How God can trust you? We have to start from the prayer. Are you in his presence? Are you living his kingdom? Are you exercising faith in him? Are you walking in forgiveness? Are you walking in victory and freedom? When you walk in those four things, God says, I can use you and give you my glory. I always prayed this prayer, Lord, trust me. How can you trust me? How can you trust me? And here is the Lord's prayer coming. He will trust you as you follow the guidelines, the steps of the Lord's prayer. We reach that place. Thine is the glory. Yours is the power. Yours is the authority. Amen. How many here will say, Lord, I know now how I'm going to pray. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You need his presence. You need his fatherly presence. You need God to put your life in order. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want my life in the order of heaven. Bring me to that design. Lord, maybe my life is out of order, but I seek your kingdom first, and all these things shall be added unto me. Lord, organize my life, bring order to my life according to heaven. Thy kingdom come. Lord, today I want to exercise my faith. Those that comes to him must exercise their faith, believe to receive. Yes, Father, give us hearts that are totally free enjoying the victory, enjoying the rest and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Father, bless this church, bless everybody in this room. I pray, Lord, that as we long to know more and more how to pray and how to talk to you, how we can hear you, help us today, Lord, that our level of prayer will be deepened and our level of prayer will rise more than ever, because this is the time of preparation for eternity. Bless the church, Lord. Bless the leadership, Pastor Mac and Kathy, Lord, and the elders, everybody that are serving and working. We pray for a blessing upon this house, that the glory, the power, and the kingdom will be in this place, Lord, and will touch the neighborhood, the nations as well. We thank you for being with us today. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.